So I'm all messed up again, guys, in a good way. We had a good time last week, and I pray that some of you are still let it go, right? We had a really good time last week, and we God interrupted the service. And it's in those moments where I get nervous because I like to come up here knowing everything that's going to happen because I want to be able to give myself, in confidence to just let my worship be prepared. It's like our worship team. They don't come up here and just, they come up here off of the heels of a lot of practice, so that we can prepare to give God our best. And so that's what I do. And when God kind of takes me in a different direction because of an event or a circumstance that happens and we just kind of have a different message in that Sunday, it makes me nervous because I want to follow him. And so we had taken the message that we had originally planned to give last week and place it in this week's slot. But I got messed up at youth camp, and God's kind of shared with me to take the service in a different direction this weekend as well. So we're going to take that message that we had planned for last week, move to this week. Now we're going to put that on the shelf for next week. And so it's going to be a great, great time. And so these are my notes just from prayer. Like, all right, God, what do you want to do this Sunday at Journey Church? I need you to guide me as much as I can because I want to be on, I just want to be make sure that I'm saying what you want me to say. So this is just my notes. We don't plan to keep you long at all. We dismissed the service in the last service at 10:15, I believe. And so, I want to let you know, though, that God has something to do in your life here today. And every single heart, he wants to do something. So can we just pray right now? Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much just for the opportunity to be here in your presence, meaning you're here in this room. And you have a specific plan for each and every one of us, God. I pray that we do our part, which is open our hearts and say, God, do what you want to do in my life today. Lord, I pray that be the prayer of every person in this room. I know it is, Lord. And I pray, God, you guide me, Lord, that I would speak every word you would want. God, that I would be an echo, a raw echo of what you're saying today to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, we don't have that scripture for you on the screen, but it's a very famous passage of scripture that we hear communicated quite a bit in the church. I'm certain you've heard it before, where it says, "For where there is no vision, the people perish. For where there is no vision, the people perish." Another translation says, "Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint." In other words, where there's no vision, there really isn't any self-control. There really isn't any map that is telling us where we need to go and why we need to go there. Vision is important. Every single thing we should do in our life, every single thing we do in our life, should I say, should have vision behind it. There should be purpose to everything we do. It's important that we know the why behind the what. Because if you don't know the why behind the what, you often don't feel there's much purpose to your life. You often feel like you're on a ship on a sea without a sail or a rudder. You're just drifting in life, going through the motions. It's important to know the why. You see, if I didn't know why, if there wasn't a why behind me being here, being the pastor of Journey Church, if there wasn't a why behind it, I don't know that I could survive the what. Because pastoring has its challenges. I mean, it's spinning plates. It's God asking of me more than I have of myself. And oftentimes you can find yourselves, I mean, you understand this in your own life, right? In our own commitments. Sometimes you just gotta hang on to the why to get through the what. Because life is tough. Life throws you curveballs. Life throws you difficult seasons, and you must know why you are doing what you're doing. Or oftentimes you get thrown off and you end up quit doing it. Why are we here? Why are we in this room today? Why do we come to church? I think it's important that we understand the why behind the what. We come to church because God's word says to. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. If you're taking notes, that's a good place just to say Hebrews 10, 25. This is why I'm here. God says to never forsake, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves, talking to the church, together. That we are to regularly come together. That we are to not forsake. In other words, we are to never ignore an opportunity to gather together as believers. Why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27 says, we are the body of Christ. And after that it says, each and every one of you has a part in it. That we are to gather. There's purpose behind why we do what we do. Because how many know when we come into the house of God, when we come together as believers, there's encouragement there. Right in the middle of the atmosphere for our lives, there's power in that atmosphere. There's spiritual resource in that atmosphere. There's like a opportunity to refocus. Many of you experienced that as a result of His Word being taught, that we are refocused. Maybe we come in here with heavy shoulders and just distracted, don't know which way to look. And then we come open God's Word, which Scripture says is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, and we are able to see again. We are able to refocus. Many of you are blessed and challenged by the messages that we receive in this place. And worship, I mean, it's awesome just to come in and express and sing, isn't it? Now, some of you dudes are like, oh, singing ain't my thing. Don't act like that, because when you're in the car by yourself, you're just in there like, band-aids don't fix bullet holes. You're just letting it go. So don't act like you don't sing. We all sing, man. We all let it go. You know, but it's just awesome just to sing and let it out. Let God know how we feel. There's incredible things in the atmosphere of a church gathered together. Would you say amen? Like, that's why we're here. We are here to obey Scripture. We are here to obey God's voice. That's the why. So when you're tempted not to come in, or when you're tempted to sleep in, or when you're tempted to do something else, and you just don't feel like it, it's important to hang on to the why. I must go. Why? If you can't answer the why, we're never faithful in the what. Where there's no vision, the people perish. We had such an amazing time at youth camp this past week. Am I right, students? We had like a sick time, man. Like, it was mind-blowing to see two churches come together, Journey Church and Faith Church, in Edmond, Oklahoma, right outside Oklahoma City. Pastor Josh Cossie, great friend of mine. And we put our two churches together, and we were able to put nearly 200 people just between our two churches in the room, and between students and leaders. And I want to say thank you so much to every leader that gave of their time. They took time away from their jobs. Like, thank you so much for pouring into these students. And every student that came, and it was just absolutely amazing. And I'm telling you what, like, it was a dynamic time. And you know, I got to have the opportunity. Jake took the first opportunity to speak on Monday during like their morning chapels. They'd all go out to the amphitheater, which was a really cool campground in Quapaw, Oklahoma, and they all gathered together. It was called Rise Camp, and I had the privilege, the honor, to speak to the students on Monday night, and we just had a dynamic time there. And Tuesday night speaker, Wednesday night Pastor Josh Cossie, who I consider one of the greatest preachers on the planet, spoke, and I'm telling you, I heard God just fell in the room. It was just awesome. But I was blown away by what God did. And I just, you know, I love student ministry. I absolutely love student ministry. My wife and I were youth pastors for 10 years before we began to prepare in ministry to come and be pastors here. 10 years. You have to love student ministry to do it for 10 years. I mean, because it's just not something you wake up and most people just want to do. They don't want to just walk into a room full of teenagers, you know, that just look at you and wonder why the heck you're even there, you know? Like, because students make you earn their trust. They're just not going to give it to any stranger that walks in the room. Who are you? Can I tell you my life story? They don't do that. They make you earn it. And you got to spend time, and you get to spend time with them and share. And then they start. But I'm telling you, we loved it. We were called to student ministry. And we've always loved it. But our passion for student ministry has been fueled by a lot of whys, by a lot of reasons why we do what we do. I can't believe that it's been 10 years from this moment that I'm going to share with you that perhaps you may have heard here before at Journey Church. As I said last week, sometimes our stories will circle back around about every 3 years here because, you know, it's how it is. But just endure the story again, if you would. But, I mean, it was I'll never forget, it was a Wednesday, and I was heading into work, and I was running late, as many youth pastors do at so many times. And I was trying to head in, and I was running behind, and I was driving down the road called College Heights Road, which was from my subdivision when I lived in Prescott, Arizona. And we had been youth pastoring for about we'd been youth pastors for about 6 years up until this point. And I was driving down there, I was running late, and we stop at the stop sign at College Heights and Willow Creek Road. And there was a bus stop that was there where I saw students that were often there. Some of them were part of our youth group, some weren't. But there was this girl named Rachel that I had seen a few times at our youth group. We had a pretty good-sized youth group, so it's not like I got to know her that well. But I knew her enough to recognize her and that I had seen her before. And when I was stopped at the stop sign, I felt like an urgent pool inside of me to roll my window down, we don't roll anymore, you know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying. So, you know, to put the window down and just to tell her, you know, that God loves her, has got a great plan for life, hadn't seen her in a while, and I would love to see her tonight at youth service because we had youth service on Wednesday nights. And I remember I felt that urgency, but at the same time I was running late. And there was a gap in the road. Willow Creek Road was much like Mid Rivers Mall Drive on a busy time. Like, if there's an opening, you got to take it, because if you don't take it, it could be, you know, 3 or 4 more minutes before you get another opening, because it's just a lot of people driving around that time. And there was an opening on the road, and I literally just ignored the impulse, and I pulled on to Willow Creek Road because I had to make the meeting, and I went on and went about my day. And went through my day, made the meeting, finished off all the responsibilities, prepared for the youth service, and then we had youth service that night. And we're in youth service that night. I don't remember a thing about the youth service, really, but what I remember was that Pat Mora was not in our youth service that night. Now, Pat Mora was one of our youth leaders. We had a youth leadership team, about 15 people, and he was a staple youth leader in our youth group, probably one of the most popular youth leaders that we had in that time. And I remember during that time he was a police officer. He still is. He was a police officer for the Prescott, Arizona Police Department. And it's not like him to not be there, because he was a detective, and he kind of just more 9-to-5 job, and so he was never really late. But he wasn't there, and it was kind of weird because he had responsibilities in the service that night. But he showed up at the end of the youth service. And I thought that was just kind of weird. And when he showed up, his face was just downtrodden. Like, you could just tell that he had been through some very traumatic situation. And I said, well, what's going on? He said, we need to talk. And so we went in my office, and he talked. And he said he just came from a house where there was a teenager that had killed themselves. And I said, well, okay, well, tell me about it. And so he started to tell me the details. And for those of you who don't know, like many police officers and military, they are encouraged strongly to have a pastor or a psychologist always on hand for them so that they can offload a lot of the traumatic, crazy experiences that they have, because it's not good to keep that bottled up. And so I was his confidant. I was his counselor, if you would, and so he always offloaded those experiences to me, and I've been that for military guys, you know. It's tough to hear some of that stuff, what they went through, but it helps them process it and how to get through it. And he was just telling me the details of, because, you know, as a clergy penitent privilege where I'm okay by law to be a confidant in those situations. And so when he was sharing it, though, he was sharing of a girl that put a shotgun in her mouth and ended her life. And he said, Jesse, he goes, we've seen her before here. And I said, well, what was her name? And he said, Rachel. And he started to tell me of the details of her suicide. He goes, Jesse, she lives over by you. And I hadn't told him the experience I had that morning, but he said that she tried to use 5 bullets that weren't even made for that gun to end her life. He said there were 5 different bullets from her parents' collection that were just on the floor around her, which means that she put a bullet in the gun that wasn't made for that gun and pulled the trigger and nothing happened. And I just remember in that conversation, it was like, what kind of misery, what kind of pain must you be in to take a bullet, put it in a gun, put the barrel in your mouth, pull the trigger? What kind of pain must you be in? But then for it not to go off. You would think that most people, I mean, I've talked with people who have tried to commit suicide and have had similar experiences like that, and it's like a sign from God that maybe their life is worth living. But she took that bullet out and put another one in, and it didn't work again, and took another one out and put it in, and it didn't work again until the 6th bullet finally went off. Heard the voice of God speak to me sternly, wherein he said, don't ever ignore my voice again. I think sometimes we take these scriptures and these commands from God as suggestive in nature, but friends, he cares for lives such as yours and for lives that are drowning in pain right this very minute. And he's trying to equip us and lead us to give people hope in a hopeless situation. If you want to know why we have Journey Youth in this church, because of Rachel. That's why we have Journey Youth in this church. That's why we have the youth ministry in this church. It's because God has been very specific with me and my wife to ensure that our lives enable and equip students to find a relationship with a loving Savior named Jesus, who is absolutely crazy about them, who's absolutely in love with them, who's absolutely doing everything possible to get the message that we call the gospel, this message of hope, this message of healing, this message of help, this message of salvation, this message of freedom, this message of deliverance to them so that they can experience the future that he created them to have. That's why we have youth ministry. And I don't care how stressful teenagers can be. Y'all can be stressful at times. It doesn't matter, because there's a why behind the what. There's a why that is much greater than the what. There's a why behind why we're here, and it's because we love you and that God has a plan for your life. And don't believe the lie that the enemy and this world and society's peer pressure will give you. You have a future that is bigger than your today. You have a future that shines brighter than the past that's behind you. You have one. And we're going to do whatever we can to shine a light on God's love in your life. Where's Allie? Come here, Allie. Can you grab that? I don't know which one's yours. Otherwise, can you get that guitar and... I'm sorry. We're going to do this. This is quite different, but... When do we do anything that isn't different? Excuse me, Yvonne. We're going to come right over here. Let me get this. Come right over there. And Allie, if you could just stand up on that center seat back there. I want every teenager in this room, junior high and high school, I want every young person in the junior high, high school, 18, maybe even just graduate, I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to come around her. For those of us, we might need to move out of the way just a little bit, but I want everybody just to come around her. I want her to be all around her. Here, I'll get out of your guys' way. If you're a youth leader, I want you to get around the students. You're a youth leader in this room. Get close to her, guys. You guys come on in. So I'm in youth camp with them on Monday night, and I hear this song being played at the altar as students just responded, and they just absorbed everything God had for them that night. And, you know, in a world so dark, it's so encouraging to see this right here. You see, if you're a part of the baby boomer and buster generation, I believe the statistics are 62% of the baby boomer and buster generation have a relationship with God, espouse their lives to biblical values. So literally, the majority of the baby boomer and buster. Now, my parents, it dropped down, like the Woodstock generation, it dropped down to 30-something percent, almost in half, of people that espouse biblical values in their life. Now, do you know what the trends are projecting for this generation right here? By the time this generation passes away, trends will project for 4%. 4% of this generation will walk out from their time on this planet with a relationship with God. 4%, meaning 96%. That's how trends are continuing. That's what trends are showing the world that we're living in and that we will live in. But I refuse to believe that's what God wants. And so it's like, God, what can we do? And I during Monday night, they were singing this song that Allie's playing right now, and it was just this song. You know, there's so many things that can take their lives and place it on paths, right, that lead to depression, that lead to suicide. You know, suicide is the third leading cause of death among young people. The third leading cause of death that can take our teenagers and put them on a path and speak on this is the type of future that you want. And it's just like there's so many places they could go. And I was hearing them sing this song on Monday night, and the lyrics go like this. It says, there's no place I'd rather be. And they say it again, no place I'd rather be than here in your arms. Than here in your arms. And then the next verse says, set a fire down in my soul, God, that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Can we just worship to that right now? Can we do this as they just continue to sing that? Can we climb out of our seats and just get around them? Can we just literally, like, I'm talking a 360 circle of faith just around their life? Can you just let a teenager feel your hand on their shoulder, just letting them know that they're not alone in this moment, that they're not alone in this life, they're not alone in this time of worship? No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want
one more time, let's sing that out.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. That I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
You know, just it blows me away what we get to be a part of. I was, the book of Judges, chapter 2. Do you have that scripture, Darren? The book of Judges, chapter 2, and verse 10, it says this, you know, because Israel had this reputation of handing the baton of faith down to the next generation, and then that generation was saturated in the faith of the previous generation, and then the baton was handed down, and you just have this amazing tale of this spiritual legacy, this timeline that has been handed. But then there's this unique stop to it, and it says here, right here on the screen, in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, says, and there arose another generation after them. This is after Joshua had passed away, and it says this, who did not know the Lord or the work he had done for Israel. Now, what blows me away is that it doesn't just say that they knew the Lord, they didn't know the Lord, but it says they didn't even know what he did. They not even heard a story. Which really exposes this mass disconnect between generations. So when we're looking at statistics like 4%, man, this isn't new. But what you often see in scriptures that is in the moments like this that God raises up people, that God brings together people This is why we assemble ourselves together. This is why Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, so that we can connect, friends, so that we can be a family. I'm tired of churches that try and gear messages out just to a 30-plus crowd. I write my messages just knowing, can a 10-year-old understand what I'm preaching? Not just because I have the mind of a 10-year-old, but so that everybody can understand it. You know what I'm saying? Because the Word of God isn't just supposed to go over our heads. It's supposed to go into our hearts. And we need to be a family here. And this is what I want to tell you young people. This is what I want to tell every teenager in this room right now. I had the opportunity on Tuesday night just to sit in the service. And I was sitting next to Brian Berryman. He went home in the first service. Did he go home? And I was sitting next to him. He was this young guy. And I took a picture of his notes. And this is what he said. It's almost impossible to read. I thought it would be at least readable, but it says this, that very bottom, he wrote Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, and underneath it, he wrote, there is an accuser over our lives. Talking about the enemy, the accuser of the brethren. Because there's an enemy that's trying to attack this generation. There's an enemy that's trying to, and I remember hearing the speaker, he used that scripture, he says, don't you think that maybe part of the reason you're experiencing the hell that you're experiencing is because you have an accuser over your lives. You have an accuser that's trying to find his way into your lives to destroy the potential that God placed in you. You guys remember that? When he was saying all that stuff, and when he was saying that, I'm just getting this picture of this moment right here. And this is what I want to tell you. There's an accuser. There's an enemy. His name is Satan. His name is the devil. He is wanting in your life, but here is where you're at in this moment. In order to get to you, he's going to have to come through us. He's going to have to get through this circle of faith that is surrounding you right now. We're here to tell you that you are not alone. We are here with you. We are your family. Full of faith that believes that you have incredible things to do. The man that wrote that note, I asked him just in the first service, I said, what has God called you to do with your life? He says, I want to be a pastor. And I just thought that was so awesome. But you see, everybody, not everybody here is supposed to be a pastor or a preacher or something like that, but we got doctors and lawyers and military men and women. We've got incredible plans that God has for each and every person. They have a purpose, but there's an enemy that's trying to take it. But to get to it, you're going to have to come through us. Amen, Journey Church. They're going to have to come through us. And so I want all of us in this room to understand our role. Is this okay? I know sometimes it's important to get a word specifically for us, but this is a word specifically for us. That we need to realize our role and responsibility in the youth ministry of this church. That we are to give them our prayers. Pray, that's for all of us. Pray for them. Every day, pray for them. Even if it's, I don't care how behind you are in your workload, just pray for them. God, touch their lives, move in their lives, open their hearts, God. Just pray for them. We're to give them our prayers. We're to give them our passions. Meaning when you see them, smile at them. Even if they don't smile back. If they don't smile back, just be more persistent in your passion and say, now you've earned a huge hug. Right? And hold them. Right? And don't let them go till they smile. Amen. Like, they need to know that we love them, because we do. We need to give them our prayers and our passions, because at the end of the day, we're going to give them our places. They're the ones that are going to take all this over. I'm not supposed to be in this pulpit forever. God's going to raise up people to do that. Young people. Who's supposed to do it? Right? So we commit to them. We commit to them. God, I thank you so much just for the opportunity to be here in this moment. God, to honor our students, these lives that you have imparted into us. God, that you've given us to be stewards over. We want them to know that we are crazy about them. Crazy enough, God, where we'll take an entire church service just to climb out of our seats and spend it around them. We love them, God. And we pray for the futures in this room, and that the potential inside of each of them would be grasped. And we encourage them from this moment on. They are world changers. They are world changers. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Can we give a hand clap of praise for this generation? Thank you so much, Allie, and every student. As we make our way back to our seats, I want, if we can, to as we kind of make this closure, I want to get, can we get the kids that are in the children's church up here, that are in the elementary program? Thank you so much. I don't know what they're teaching or what they're doing right now, but just tell them I need them up here. That's going to freak them out. But
high fives. Hey, can we let our kids know how much we appreciate them? High fives, man, all the way around. You guys are so awesome. You know, one thing that I want to do, we're not going to spend as much time here as we did with our youth, but for the sake of time, but I want to share with you that these guys are not exempt from the passion that we just shared. Wasn't that video wild? That it says by the age of 12, over 50% of the people that make a decision for Jesus do so by the age of 12, which means they do so well before age of 12. It's the overwhelming majority in statistics. Which sheds the importance of children's ministry, sheds the importance of why we do what we do. This is why we have children's ministries. Because heaven holds us accountable for what we do with our kids. I read an insane scripture in Matthew a while back. Do you have that scripture in Matthew? I believe it's Matthew 18:10, is it? Yeah, check this out. This is Jesus speaking. See that you do not despise these, everybody say it, little ones. For I tell you that, say it, their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. It says that their angels, that means that every single one of you guys have an angel from heaven just for you. Isn't that insane? That heaven has assigned an angel specifically for each child. If heaven considers our kids important enough, where 24/7 an angel has been dispatched from heaven just to be around our kids. I've read that scripture and I just thank God for the angel. I can't see an angel, but I think that I'll say this, I don't care how weird you think I am, but when the kids are sleeping, I'm like, I don't know where you guys are at, but thank you so much, you know? And it's just like, I'm like saluting angels in my house at night, you know? I've named them Fang and Spike, you know, because they're huge, they're big. I think they're just monstrously huge angels. You know, it's just like Fang and Spike are out there watching for my kids. It just shows the investment that heaven is making in our kids, and I think that we as the local church need to echo that investment inside of their lives because they matter. They're the future. You guys are awesome. Hugest high five ever. They are so awesome right here, man. Oh, wait, we missed that. There we go. That one hurt right there. Amen. You know, we were, I know, you hurt me, that you're the one that did that. You know, it's just one of those things where we felt that our kids' ministry has needed a huge bump in our resource and support. Because how many know children's ministry needs to be much more than just push play? It needs to be much more than Larry the Cucumber and Bob the Tomato, which are awesome. But there needs to be much more than that, where our kids need to be in an atmosphere where they're experiencing the presence of God and making decisions for Jesus and worshiping Jesus and learning the tenets and the foundations of a faith that they will one day build their lives on. And so we just started to pray, I know, with Morio and Jamie making their focus in this church outreach, and we're developing them right now to be ready down the road for what God wants to do through our outreach. Missy and I are just developing them. But, you know, we started to say, God, who do you want to place inside of our kids and over our kids' ministry? And we just started to pray about it and who it was. And then I had this conversation with an individual that I had no thought would be our children's pastor. But it blew me away how God it actually was. I'll never forget that day in my office, man, ever. And I'm here to introduce to you two people that are going to be extremely instrumental in taking our kids' ministry that God has spoken to me about to such a level and to such a reputation that it will be one of the key factors to the future growth of this church. Let me introduce to you our children's pastors and Pastor Danny and Brittany Brooks, as they come on up here. They don't even do that for me, amen. Isn't that awesome? You know, these guys, what you may not know is they have 6 years experience as children's pastors before they came to us. 6 years experience leading kids' ministries. And they understand this ministry. They understand the passion. They understand the importance of prayer and passion, because one day we're going to give them our places. And so this is what I want to do. I want to ask my wife if she would to come. And I'm telling you, since they've come in and been a part of this, he joins the staff of our church at Kids Camp, the week of Kids Camp, because we're going to baptize them right into how we do things with a good 80-hour week. Amen. And he's used to that anyway. This guy right here works at Southwest Airlines right now, and works. You go in at 1, and you leave at 9:45. Yeah. I said 10. That's about the same. Yeah. Anyway, he works that, and he's here in the office from 9 until he leaves for work. And I didn't ask him to do that, but that's just what he wants to do. I mean, these guys give their lives for the call of God on their lives, and they're called. They're called to serve him in whatever way they lead him. And he's leading their lives to our children with their gifts and talents and love and experience. What I love about these guys is they don't thrive for the spotlight. They thrive to put other people in the spotlight. They want to make everybody else a winner, you know? They love to take the blame and give the credit. How many got a manager or somebody that does the opposite, right? They like to take the credit and give the blame. That's you're not a leader. Leaders take the blame and give the credit. Even if they didn't feel like they did anything wrong, they want to do that. They want to make others shine. And that's this couple right here. They serve in such an amazing way. And so I want to pray, because I feel like the future of Journey Kids is getting ready to take off. If there's ever a time to get on board with what we're doing at Journey Kids, now's the time. I mean, I'm telling you, slots are filling up, and it is so awesome to see just the example that they have. A survey is getting ready to go out to parents. We want to hear what you feel maybe hasn't been happening at Journey Kids that we can do at Journey Kids. We want to hear from our volunteers. It's really awesome to see where God's going to take this kids program. Amen? 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 It's going to be so awesome. So, Missy, can we pray? I just want you, if you would, let's come out right here. Amen. The reason I want to ask my wife to pray is, man, I'm telling you, we're just so thankful for her. She really helped start our children's ministry with my mother and my sister and just a select few of people that were with us at that time. Kelly West, she helped us start this children's ministry. It's so awesome to see it become what God has made it to be. Let's just pray for the future that is in front of us. Amen.
God, I just thank you for these children, Lord, that you are trusting us with their lives, their future, their spiritual lives, and their growth, Lord. And I know that it comes on our shoulders, our responsibility to guide, to direct them, and to show them clearly the path that you have for their lives. And I pray, God, for the leaders that are in this ministry on a day in and day out basis, that are giving and serving and loving and caring, God, and pouring in your words into their lives, that are specifically directing them in the direction that you have and the purpose that you have for their lives. I pray that you would fill them, that you would give them the energy and the focus and the passion, God, to continue to give and to pour out for their lives, Lord, because their futures are so important. And I know, God, that all of us in this room have a place and a purpose to continue to live out for these kids, that we would see our place, God, whether we're in the children's ministry or not, that we would know we need to pray and to focus and to be an example to these kids, to be a light in the darkness, God. I think so many times life comes against us and it dims our light for you, God. But I pray that we would stand strong. We would let our light just be strong and bright for you, God. Our passion and our hunger for you, God, is going to shine so bright that they're going to know exactly where to go and what to do, God. Yes. That we wouldn't let the darkness of life around us take that away, that we would continue to shine bright, not just for our lives and our kids and the people around us, but for the examples in this room right now, God, the kids that are here that need to see it. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Can we thank Mike and Patty Drawball? They are here. Well, Mike Sherbanenko and Patty Drawball, who are here. Sorry, I almost had you guys married there in a second. Amen. Just for their undying support for these incredible kids. One more time, guys. Let's let them hear it. We love you guys so much. Amen. We've got a great, great future. Amen. In front of us. Can we stand to our feet? I want to ask our communion teams if they would to come as we close this service.